For relief that lets you get on with your day, turn to Advil. Nothing's been proven to work better or last longer. And Thermacare's heat penetrates deep to relax muscles. Now, when you buy any participating one Advil and one Thermacare product at Walgreens, you'll get $5 in register rewards. Offer good August 28th through October 1st on participating products. Limit one coupon printed per offer. See coupon for exclusions, limitations, and expiration. Use all products as directed.
The March of Dimes in FC Inova will honor women in the tech field who make a difference in their communities at the 11th annual Heroines in Technology Gala, Friday, October 21st at the Hyatt Regency Reston. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify volunteerism in our community. 20 finalists will be recognized and winners will be announced in five award categories, including the FCA International Government Award. Government finalists include Chief Kathy Lanier of the D.C. Metro Police Department and Catherine Hollis of the Defense Logistics Agency. In addition to the award presentation, the event will have a live and silent auction and a live band. To learn more about the nominees and to purchase tickets, please visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc. Proceeds will benefit the March of Dimes and its fight to prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I've got a special guest in studio with me today. We're going to be talking about how are foundations giving to kind of federal institutions and kind of providing service and funding different kind of projects. One outstanding foundation, and I'm probably saying this because I'm a little bit biased because I'm a Marine myself, but I have the Marine Corps University Foundation. I've got the president and CEO in the studio with me, Thomas Droughty. He's a retired Brigadier General of the United States Marine Corps, and he runs the Marine Corps University Foundation that funds programs for the Marine Corps University in terms of programs that are teaching Marines and teaching other kind of military people internationally about different war fighting, diplomacy, information operations, and everything else. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Derek. Delighted to be here, and thank you for this opportunity to share with you a few thoughts about the Marine Corps University Foundation and what we do and how we do it.
First, let me say simplify to you.
And
what we'll do, let's talk about the Marine Corps University Foundation. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know about this whole kind of concept of a foundation giving to the actual military. I mean, what does your organization do? I mean, when was it founded? What's the background of it? And then what's the mission?
Surely. We were founded a little over 30 years ago, and the notion was one that continues to this day, is that the government can only fund so much in the way of education, which is our primary focus, professional military education. So the difference between what the government funds and what is needed in order to really provide a quality education is what we call the margin of excellence. And that's what our foundation attempts to fill in by the contributions, fundraisings, and so forth that we do in order to support not just the Marine Corps University, but also other aspects of the training command at Quantico, but also the operating forces and supporting establishments. So we're affecting not just the students at the Marine Corps University, but also those who are out overseas, deployed right now, just returned from overseas, to help them in their education process.
So let me get this straight. The foundation is technically a nonprofit.
It is.
Whose purpose, and the history goes back to what? I mean, did the Marine Corps one day say, hey, listen, maybe, or the university, because a lot of universities, you know, whether it be Georgetown, whoever case is, they have a development arm where they're raising money and bringing things in. That when the Marine Corps started the university, did they say, hey, we need this same concept? Or how did the Marine Corps University Foundation get started?
It actually began under the title of the Command and Staff College Foundation, because that was the school at Quantico. Then later, the Marine Corps University was established, and so the name was changed to provide that. But I like to remind folks that every university and college president has as his or her primary duty to raise money.
Okay. And that's no different with the Marine Corps University.
Exactly. But in our case, the president of our Marine Corps University is a major general. He cannot do that because he wears a uniform.
Right.
So we are the development arm of the Marine Corps University. He cannot ask for money. I can, and I enjoy it, and I do it as much as possible.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Sometimes people say yes, and sometimes they say no. Right. But my attitude is like Gretzky's, and that is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right.
So
that's
I
right.
ask a lot. But the idea is to provide funds to help in the professional military education and leadership of our youngsters, and I consider youngsters anyone below the rank of colonel now that I become
right.
less of a
exactly
youngster.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with the foundation, you've been around for how long, you know?
Well, I was in the Marine Corps for 30 and a half years.
Right.
And then I retired and was with the USAA for over 10 years.
And you've been with the foundation for how long?
Just over 7 years.
Over
now.
7 years. And the foundation has been around for how many years?
30 years. Just 30 over
years.
30 years,
huh? And with that time period and the kind of the transitions and everything else, because, you know, we're seeing this budget cut. I mean, we're hearing about the federal. I mean, this has always been the case. But I think we're starting to feel it very much so now. I think I even read a directive where the Marine Corps is you know, taking about 90 days of a holdback on civilian hiring because the money's so tight. You know, in this situation, you know, would you feel like even the foundation that you're providing, is it even more important now than ever?
It is, Derek, because in addition to the reduction in size of the Marine Corps and therefore budget constraints, the Commandant has directed that the residency at the Marine Corps University, that is students who are there in residence, expand.
Okay.
And so in the case, and I'll explain here a little bit later about Marine Corps University, but in the case of our captain's course, the Expeditionary Warfare School, to go from 240 per year to triple that to 720. And in the case of Command and Staff College, from basically 240 or so, I'm sorry, but basically 200, that'll double to about 400. So we have two competing interests are right. drawn in two directions. One, reduction in funds, but secondly, the direction to increase the residency output of those two schools. So to make up that difference, the University Foundation becomes really critical because of the things that we can offer to the university, and it's more than just money. It's also things like the academic chairs that we provide. There are three chairs right now, and I'm one of them, that serve in a teaching capacity for the university. And the benefit to the university is that they get this expert instruction at no cost. The additional benefit is that in the computation for the teacher-to-student ratio, our chairs count in that calculus. So for purposes of accreditation with SACS, the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, and joint accreditation, that teacher-to-student ratio is critical, so our academic chairs help in that regard. And so that's just one of the ways that we are able to assist the university in these challenging times, but to try to fill in that gap, that margin of excellence that I talked about.
You know, with that dynamic, and you just mentioned something about chairs, because what your foundation does, it allows you to fund certain chairs. I think we've even had one of your chairs on this radio show. As a matter of fact, we had Chris Harmon, who's a chair who's teaching terrorism and counterterrorism at Marine Corps University, and that's funded by the foundation. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So with all of that, you're basically able to take the money that you're raising and then fund a whole position that's now teaching our Marine Corps captains captains, Marine Corps majors, and colonels, and other officers.
Exactly. And the other chair is General Van Riper, who is a superb teacher. And our instructors, or our teachers, our chairs, all part of their contract is that they are not only available to teach at the university, but to go to where the troops are.
Hmm.
And so we've had our chairs.
So you're saying they may go to Afghanistan. They may go to Iraq and other places.
Exactly, and they have.
Okay.
And the idea is that the troops who are deployed, need professional military education and leadership as well. And since they can't come to us right now,
right. We
send the chairs out to them. So this is, again, a responsibility that we have, that we are supporting the university, but also the operating forces through the expertise that that we're blessed with.
You know, this, and I want people to understand this, this is all these things that you're funding and providing to the Marine Corps in terms of education and people who are traveling overseas and teaching at the Marine Corps University and everything else. And really, for people to even get an understanding, you're based on Quantico. I mean, you're actually at the Marine Corps base. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And we have a small office there and a staff of just six of us that handle all of the requirements for the foundation. But along with it, we're kind of a cheek-to-jowl relationship with the Marine Corps University, which is critical so that we have an understanding of what their needs are or what their needs may be. And on occasion, we have individuals who think they know what the Marine Corps University
right.
needs, but we use the phrase, we don't want to get in front of the university's headlights. So if they see a need of some kind that we can help them fill, that's one of the roles that we have in life.
So you're always talking to the president. I think the Marine Corps University, from last time I was down there, the Marine Corps University is right next door, very
yes.
close to your offices. And so you're talking to the president of the Marine Corps University on a regular basis and kind of saying, hey, listen, what are your needs? What's the future of academics looking like for Marines? And then kind of going from there.
Yes, the president holds a meeting about every 2 weeks or so, his president's meeting. I attend that. And in that way, I can find out or learn what is taking place at the university. By the same token, the faculty becomes aware of what we're doing and the ways that we can further support them. So again, it's the relationship that would exist in a normal college or university with its development arm. But that's, in fact, what we do for the university. But it requires, just as you've described, that very close, personal working relationship of my teaching over there, our attendance at their events, they attend ours as well. It's just a superb relationship.
We're going to take a quick break. When we talk, you gave me a perfect segue because, like you just mentioned, you're teaching over there. We're going to talk about what the Marine Corps University is doing, what kind of programs, what kind of courses and classes are being held over there that are teaching Marines, but not just Marines, but Army, Navy, other officers, international officers who can come in there and take part of this good education. We're talking to Tom Droughty. He's a Brigadier General. He's a retired Brigadier General, and he's the President and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation. You can find their website at mcuf.org. We're talking about the Marine Corps University. We're talking about Marine Corps University, and we'll talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's a shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
For more than 80 years, Motorola has been committed to keeping Americans safe. Today, Motorola Solutions provides interoperable communication systems that are built to open standards so federal, state, and local agencies can work together in emergency situations and be their best in the moments that matter. That's why first responders and others dedicated to keeping citizens safe choose Motorola Solutions, because they know Motorola Solutions always puts public safety first, just like they do. To learn more, visit MotorolaSolutions.com/80.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Do you know us? We employ more than 70,000 people in more than 800 locations throughout the United States. Through our network of suppliers, we indirectly enable tens of thousands of American jobs. Tens of thousands. Jobs that put food on the table. Jobs that put kids through college. Jobs that keep our economy going. And yet, many of you don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. We may be the biggest unknown company in America, but our jobs power the economy, and our technologies, products, and services power the world. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Hola, Santi. So, where to for dinner?
Hola, April. You look great.
Hey, new radio.
Yeah, went to Best Buy. Those Geek Squad installers were cool.
What is that?
JVC HD radio receiver. As beautiful as you. HD2, HD3 channels, and iTunes tagging. Plus no subscription fees, so I save money for taking you to nice places.
Forget dinner. Let's get my car to Best Buy.
Let's do both. Best Buy stores are everywhere.
HD radio. More radio, more value.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on two levels and in five halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a real good, interesting conversation about the Marine Corps University Foundation. Many people don't know this, but there's foundations out there, and the Marine Corps University Foundation is one of them that are able to provide funding to federal institutions, to the Marine Corps, about providing some funding for education programs that Marines and other people in the military can take part of. We're talking about that today because they fund programs at Marine Corps University. I have in studio with me Thomas Droughty. He's a Brigadier General, retired of the United States Marine Corps. He's a president and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation, and he's breaking everything down for us. Tom, you kind of broke the whole piece of Marine Corps University Foundation in the first segment. What I like to do is kind of go into the university and, what are the classes and what is it broken into? And is it just for officers? Are there in classes for enlisted? I mean, break it down for us so people can understand Marine Corps University.
Sure, Jerry, great question. Just so you know, I really use the term breakdown.
Okay. That's right. That's
kind of a negative connotation.
I understand that.
I'll describe it in detail.
Understood.
Probably the best way to describe the Marine Corps University is an umbrella or a tent.
Okay.
And within that tent are various schools, colleges, and so forth. And let me start really at the base. And the base are the Staff and CO Academies. There are six of them located throughout the world. One at Quantico, Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms, California, Camp Pendleton, California, okay, Hawaii, and Okinawa. And these provide instruction from the grade of a rank of corporal all the way on up. And this past year, those six Staff and SEAL academies provided instruction to over 14,000 non-commissioned officers and staff non-commissioned officers. So from corporal all the way up to sergeant major, master gunnery sergeant, that's what they provide. And so we're very proud, and the Commandant has made a real push for enlisted professional military education, and we're part of that push. So that's the first level. The next level.
Let me interject, sure, real quick, Tom. What a lot of people don't realize, what's the importance? And you mentioned this about before, PMEs. And when I was in the military, that was always something we always heard: PME, professional military education, always learning. What's the importance of PMEs? Because a lot of people think, hey, you go into the military, you go to your initial school, you start doing your job. You know, what's the importance of always consistently getting that education?
Derek, I think that education is not just critical, it's vital. Vital in that it's life-saving, it's life-producing, it is vital. Here's the reason I say that. More and more, our youngsters, and not just the colonels and majors and first lieutenants, I'm talking about the sergeants and the corporals, are confronted with situations where they must rely upon not just training, but also education. And some people say, well, what's the difference? My definition, since I have the microphone,
right, yeah.
is training is preparation for certainty.
Mm-hmm.
Education is preparation for uncertainty. And more, that's what our youngsters are facing, uncertainty. There is no manual that tells them how to react to various situations with which they're confronted. And so they must rely upon, of course, their background, the way they were raised, their morals, their religious values, all the rest of it. But in addition, the professional military education that they are receiving. So that's what we consider is so critical in this regard, is to provide this. There are a number of other very worthwhile foundations who support other aspects, such as scholarships for the families of those who have ruined, or prosthetic devices and so forth. Our belief is that if we educate our youngsters well, there'll be less of a need for scholarships for their dependents, or less of a need for prosthetic, because they'll be better prepared to fight not just the war today and not just the war of tomorrow, but the war of the day after tomorrow, in a place we perhaps have never heard of, but our youngsters will be confronted again with uncertainty, and the better we can prepare them for that, the better we'll feel about preparation of our youngsters for the tremendous job that they have done and must do.
As we break down kind of the Marine Corps University and break down the various programs there, there's, you know, various colleges and schools, and I kind of really want to kind of and I'm not going to use the word breakdown with you anymore, Tom, but I want to give an accurate description of what's going on at the Marine Corps, maybe starting off with the Marine Corps War College and going on down into the different programs.
Sure. Well, I talked about the Staff and CO Academy, so I'll go to the other end of this tent or umbrella that I described. Also within it is the Marine Corps War College. The Marine Corps War College produces strategists, and they do it in a unique way. In that they learn these things such as economics and diplomacy and so forth, but they also...
And this is for what ranking?
Lieutenant colonels and colonels are their equivalents.
Okay.
And their equivalents mean folks from other services, other government agencies, or international officers.
Can civilians go? Like, so if you're a civilian in maybe a federal agency and you're maybe a GS such and such?
We have them in all of the schools from the Marine Corps War College all the way down to Expeditionary Warfare School.
Okay.
And so, and what they bring, Derek, is a good interjection, is an understanding of the capabilities of their agencies so that the individual in uniform can better understand what those capabilities are, but also so that they have a better understanding of the military, how we operate, and so forth. So it's a really a mutual learning situation for the individuals who come from the other government agencies, and also for the international officers. And it just... years ago, a decision was made that we would not bring in officers from Pakistan.
Hmm.
And that's been changed, thankfully, but for so long, we had no officers in the Pakistan Army.
It was seen that that's a bad decision because so linked in with Pakistan in this war of terrorism.
We are. And so now we have a graduate of one of our schools who goes back to Pakistan, and when the various things are said about the United States, the propaganda and so forth, he can say, wait a minute, let me tell you the experience of me and my family at Quantico or Fort Leavenworth or Newport or whatever school that he attended, because that is the best counterweight to that kind of propaganda is the fact that they've been here, seen how we operate, the way that they were treated, the respect, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the case of all the international officers.
Let me hold you right there, Tom, because we got to take a quick break. When we come back on the segment, I want to pick right back up where you're talking about, because I think it's a really, really important point about allowing international students to come to our you know, some of our Marine Corps universities or warfighting universities and learn, because this is an act of diplomacy that can go back and maybe help us in the future in terms of a perception of America. So I want to talk a little bit more about that and the importance of that from what you're seeing. We're talking about Marine Corps University. We're talking about the Marine Corps University Foundation. And I have with me the president and CEO. He's a Brigadier General retired of United States Marine Corps, Tom Droughty. And he's in studio with me. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
If your agency's communications network was tailored to your needs, what would it look like? Would your small and medium-sized field offices connect to the cloud and run applications with optimal bandwidth efficiency? Would your ideal network be cost-effective and able to leverage the benefits of GSA programs? Would it provide path-diverse communications that support COOP for the same price as your primary network service? And with your network, would you have confidence in secure connectivity, especially for teleworkers? Say yes to all these questions and meet the Government Field Office of the Future today from Hughes. With decades of experience and a comprehensive suite of solutions and partners, Hughes is able to deliver agencies a powerful national managed broadband service, providing voice, video, and data where, when, and how you need it.
To learn more, visit government.hughes.com/WFED. The Cloud Computing Report is brought to you by Trusted Enterprise Cloud, an innovative cloud computing solution from Harris Corporation and VMware.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology has published two new documents on cloud computing. The first identifies current cloud computing standards and standardization gaps. The second, a cloud reference architecture, lays out the difference between cloud consumers, providers, brokers, auditors, and carriers. The agency says it was designed to create a level playing field for cloud contractors. NIST expects to publish the documents in November as part of its cloud computing technology roadmap.
Are you looking to move software and applications to the cloud, but you're concerned about security and reliability? Then take a look at Trusted Enterprise Cloud, a world-class cloud computing system with patented trust technology built in. Go to harris.com/cloud, and you can request a design review with a solutions architect. That's harris.com/cloud.
There are barbecue double burgers with mayo and bacon and cheese. There are 60-inch HD plasmas with cinema surround and 3D. There are mandatory conference calls at 8 p.m. on Saturdays. Ugh. There are really comfortable overstuffed sofas that recline and vibrate and have cup holders and coolers built right in. And there are idiots behind the wheels of cars all over the road, and somehow they are always right there in front of you. There are moments when it feels as if the whole world is conspiring against your health, which is why there is Kaiser Permanente. We can be a partner. We can be a friend. A voice of moderation in a world gone excess and insane. So the next time you're faced with the choice between a televised marathon of vapid vixens or the chance to get a little fresh air, visit everybodywalk.org and we'll be there to help you thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Federal agencies such as the U.S. Department of Energy managing for performance and results? How have the Recovery Act and the GPRA Modernization Act of 2010 changed the way federal departments operate? Join host Michael Keegan on the next The Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the Marine Corps University, talking about the Marine Corps University, the courses that's going on down there, talking about how the foundation, Marine Corps University Foundation, provides funding and provides assistance to help some of these courses that are being taught, whether it be on terrorism, whether it be on information operations, possibly economics coming up in the near future. But all these professional courses being taught to enlisted as well as officers, how the Marine Corps University is helping, is being funded by the Marine Corps University Foundation at no taxpayer cost, as this is completely a dynamic of donations, and these donations go right into the warfighter to help them to become more strategic fighters, great thinkers, better diplomats when they're out there overseas. We're talking to Brigadier General Thomas Droughty. He is Brigadier General retired of the United States Marine Corps. He is the president and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation. And Tom, we've been having a great conversation. You mentioned something that last segment that I really think is really important. I want to kind of just really continue to go with it. International students coming in. Where are they coming in from? How many are attending the Marine Corps University? And why do you think it's fundamentally important that we do open up our universities like this, our warfighting universities? Because we know we have international students going to our regular universities, but our warfighting universities, why should we open this up?
Surely. Great question. And we have students from Expeditionary Warfare School, and this is the captain level, all the way up to the Marine Corps War College, the lieutenant colonel. In fact, one of our students was a brigadier, equivalent of a brigadier general. They come from Europe, Asia, the Middle East, South America. An opportunity for these individuals, and they are all highly selected by their own countries. There's, of course, an English requirement that they have a good understanding in that regard. They do, but these are, Derek, really the up-and-comers in their countries. And one of the benefits of their attending, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, that when they go back, they and their families, because most of them bring their families with them, have so much better understanding of the United States. They also travel when they're students. And so they get a chance to see not just Quantico, which is a great place to see.
Yeah, sure. But you do want them to see a little bit more.
A little bit beyond that. So they do. So when they go back to their countries, they have a better understanding of America and the military that they've lived with for this past year. And it does so much to counteract much of the propaganda that's spread about the United States of lack of tolerance and being a violent society and so forth. I have to tell you that if you live aboard base at Quantico, you could not live in a safer spot.
Right, sure.
But the best part is the relationship that they have with their neighbors, and in the case of the students, with their fellow students. They attend the classes. Most of the electives are unclassified, so they're able to attend those as well. A quick story, in one of my information operations classes, I had an officer from the United Arab Emirates, and the question came up of, in Iraq, what television station were the people watching? And so he pulled out his cell phone and called his sister, who was married to an Iraqi officer, and asked her, what TV stations or shows do you watch?
Right.
And it was instantaneous. That was because we had available to us an officer who could provide that information, but more importantly, that he was able to see, again, what we were attempting to accomplish and was able to contribute. It wasn't just a matter of sitting there. I mean, the international officers, I can assure you, really,
and that's like education in real time.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is, and the benefit that they provide to their fellow students is just superb. So we're delighted, and wish that we could have more, because I think it's an investment that pays tremendous dividends.
Is there a push to start maybe recruiting more from other? I mean, you mentioned a pretty good number of regions. Is there a really emphasis on saying, listen, we want to bring in more international students?
I believe that there is, but I'd be getting beyond my lane or out of my lane if I did. In coordination, obviously, with the State Department, and that's part of it also. But we certainly have seen the benefit of having a rich in the form of the talent and enthusiasm of our international officer community.
We talked about Marine Corps War College, and even kind of to put this in perspective, in terms of education, and you mentioned about a kind of a program, are these students, when they go to these colleges, and I want to talk about all of them, are they receiving equivalents of like maybe a certificate, a master's? I mean, what's coming out of this in terms of maybe the equivalence of a civilian education?
There are three master's degrees given at the Marine Corps University as a result of accreditation through SACS, the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. For those who attend the Marine Corps War College, they get a Master of Strategic Studies.
Okay.
And this is automatic for their completion of the course. The next level down is the School of Advanced Warfighting. These are selected students who have completed a command and staff college, whether it's at Quantico or Leavenworth or Newport or whatever, and then have an additional year. And they are receive a master's in operational art, but they are the planners, the future planners. Derek, they're so highly sought that I've seen three-star Marine generals almost get into fist fights over getting their fair share of SAW graduates.
Right.
And I had the tremendous opportunity 3 years ago to join the SAW course to go to Vietnam.
Okay.
My first time back in 38 years. And it was a real eye-opener for me. But
I know you served in Vietnam.
I was there three different occasions, yes. So it was wonderful, and I say that truthfully, to go back, especially with the talent of these youngsters who attended the School of Advanced Warfighting. So that's another master's degree. And then at Command and Staff College, a master's degree is available for those who choose to get it. They must do extra work, write a paper, and so forth.
Okay.
But in answer to your question, there are three different master's degrees, all accredited, that are available to students at the Marine Corps University.
Outstanding. So with SAW, I mean, let's go into detail about it. What are they learning with SAW? School of Advanced Warfighting. What is that about?
It's a matter of learning not just history and planning for events, but much like the Marine Corps War College, they go to where history took place. So when they go to Europe, they start off at Gallipoli and end up at Normandy, because the School of Advanced Warfighting and the Marine Corps War College believes that in order to understand decisions that were made, one must do more than just read about it. Go there, see the ground, see what the weather is like, see those things that influence those factors as to why good decisions, or in many cases, more importantly, why bad decisions were made. So that's one of the unique features of the SAW students, as I said, I joined them in their trip to Vietnam and was able to travel the country with them and provide what I call some color commentary, having been there.
Some historical perspective.
Yes, what it was like to be a rifle company commander, a platoon commander, an advisor to the Vietnamese Marines, and those aspects that would help them better understand the Vietnam War.
Are the students, and as you're seeing these programs evolve, are the students taking this? I mean, and you kind of can maybe see some of the alums who come out of these programs. Are you seeing the impact of the education coming out of these programs and the chairs that you fund automatically when they go back into the Marine Corps?
Absolutely. We get some tremendous feedback from the students about the benefit that they have received as a result of their attendance, but one in particular was a student of mine in information operations, who then was the information operations officer for a brigade going into Helmand Province when we first went in there, and using some of the deception that I had taught him that we had discussed that proved very successful. And he came back immediately and said, it's just amazing the things that we had discussed that were shared and how useful and beneficial they were to just literally save lives. Hmm. So that kind of feedback, Derek, just
automatically
means more to you than $1 million check.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we wish we could all be Warren Buffett, but thank you. and saving some Marines is almost the same thing. We got, the time is going so fast. We got to go to a quick break time, because then we're going to go in with the last segment. I want to talk about the last two programs, but then I want to go a little bit into your background, because you've got this interesting background where you were the person who was running information operations, military deception. I want to talk about what that is so people can understand that. We're talking to Thomas Droughty. He's a Brigadier General, retired United States Marine Corps. He is a president and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation that funds various programs at the Marine Corps University. And we're talking about what they do and how the programs are impacting Marines and also other warfighters in our United States as well as internationally. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access. We'll be right back.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Stephen Black, litigator and employment law specialist with Odin Feldman and Pittleman. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, located on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Full-service law firm. Give us a call at 703-218-2100.
To the Marines who watch over the skies, it says the enemy can't see you. To the Marines who carry out their mission on the ground, it says I have your back. To adversaries, it says don't even think about it. It is the F-35B, the fifth generation multi-role fighter jet that combines short takeoff and vertical landing capability with supersonic speed and radar evading stealth. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go. Wherever the mission takes them, our Marines know it will be there. It's the F-35B, a fighter jet that can take off and land virtually anywhere, from the most remote, austere airfields and roads to modern ships. That means it can be based close to frontline combat, shrinking the distance between base and target. For the Marines and for our nation, that's a game-changing advantage. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go.
Too many letters.
You and your crossword puzzles.
Hey, they keep the brain active. I don't suppose you know a seven-letter word that starts with H, ends with O, and means more.
Try HD Radio. With HD Radio, you get more local stations, more choices, more of everything you listen to the radio for.
HD Radio. Hey, it fits.
Right into your lifestyle. HD Radio is simple and easy to use. It's a no-brainer.
Learn more at HDRadio.com. HD Radio. More stations.
More value.
More of what you listen to radio for.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it. Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, you need to go back to the previous three segments and make sure that you catch what you have been missing. We've been talking about the Marine Corps University Foundation. We've been talking about the Marine Corps University, how they're benefited by the Marine Corps University Foundation, which is a nonprofit that receives donations from corporations, from individuals, and everyone else to help fund education at the Marine Corps University. And I want to talk about how people can donate to that in a few minutes. We're talking to Thomas Droughty. He is a Brigadier General retired United States Marine Corps. He's the president and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation. And Tom, before we kind of go into the last couple schools, let's talk about the foundation. For people who hear this and say, you know what, I want to maybe donate. I want to maybe provide some funding that will continue to help educate Marines. I want to fund a chair, some education that will benefit our war fighters who are out there in the front lines. How can they do that?
Derek, the best bet would be through our website to contact us there, and then from there we'll get the information and can I always return telephone calls, sure, especially for those who are interested in any kind of a contribution. And I will go anywhere and talk to anybody about what the foundation does and why it's so important, and ways that folks can assist. This coming week I'm going down to Florida for a wedding, but part of it will be to talk to some folks, some prospective donors, to share with them what we do. But coming on the website would be the best beginning.
And the website is?
www.mcuf.org.
mcuf.org.
Correct.
ORG. And then they can go on there. They'll see a link about how to donate. They'll see the programs that you guys are doing. They'll see all the different work that Marine Corps University Foundation is doing.
Exactly. And if the questions are not answered by the website, and there's no way that we could possibly do that, please do not hesitate to say, I want to talk to you, to Tom Droughty. I'll be delighted to talk to anyone, as I say, and if necessary, come to you if it's more convenient to do so. But I'm serious and committed about doing all that we can to prepare our youngsters for what they're facing right now.
And for people who want to hear about the Marine Corps University and see some of the programs that are kind of being funded and the different programs that are there, you can just type in Google Marine Corps University. You'll find it, mcu.usmc.mil, but you'll find it there. Tom, I want to go into the last schools, and I want to get a little bit into you before we got to get out of here. EWS, Expeditionary Warfare, and the Enlisted Professional Military Education. What are those two about?
Expeditionary Warfare School is the new term. It used to be called Amphibious Warfare School, which is what it's called when I went through.
And when I was there, too. I went to Amphibious Warfare School in Cornada.
But now Expeditionary Warfare School, a 9-month course and a resident course. But it's also available through the College of Distance Education and Training, as is the Command and Staff College. So for those individuals who want to get credit for attendance, if you will, but cannot be resident, they can acquire that through a distance education. We have blended seminars where a number of officers or NCOs, staff NCOs who want to take the course meet, have a moderator or a director who's been trained, and that's one way to do it. Or they can do it online as well.
Okay.
So these are the ways to accomplish that. But as the term would bring to mind, it's expeditionary, so it's more than just amphibious, but it's all forms of expeditionary warfare that is becoming extremely important as we look into the future. Resources being limited, the necessity to have, as was once described, a force that is most ready when the nation is least ready. And that term was applied to the Marine Corps after Korea, when the war broke out and our country was simply not prepared to go fight that, and it took a while to get brought up to speed. And the Congress said this will never happen again. We must have a force that is most ready when the nation is least ready. And so to have the necessary education for that, we have the Expeditionary Warfare School, and they do a great job with about 240 captains or equivalents each year.
Outstanding. With the enlisted professional military education, that's kind of, is it that in touching all enlisted ranks?
It is, and those are the staff and CO academies.
Gotcha.
That I mentioned to you, the six of them, and the 14,000 that we touch each year through our support.
Outstanding. You know, you've got an interesting background in terms of what was called military, what now is termed military information support operations or military support operations, but used to be known as psychological operations, military deception operations, information operations. What, for a listener who maybe is kind of foreign to that, or maybe even a military person who's kind of foreign to that, what goes into information operations or psyops or military deception? What is that tradecraft?
It's a matter of seeing a situation and knowing that there's various capabilities that can be brought to bear. And I try to teach my students not to look at it in a stovepipe fashion. For example, you would not build a house by saying, okay, I'm going to take my hammer and go around and hammer anything that looks like a nail. And then when that's finished, then pick up a screwdriver. You have a kit bag, a tool bag that is used depending upon the situation that is needed, sometimes improvisation. So have I ever used a screwdriver's hammer? I have to say that once in a while.
I did.
But that was what it was. So that's what we think about in the areas of the components of information operations. I teach the aspect of deception because I was the Marine Deception Officer for Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And our goal there was to deceive the Iraqis into what we were going to do. One of the major successes was the amphibious assault that did not take place. And that was simply a matter of allowing the reporters to be aboard ship and to see the various exercises, the capabilities as we would go through them, and report on all of that, obviously in the open. A number of people watched that, to include Saddam Hussein, who said they're obviously going to do an amphibious assault, so lined up on the shores of Kuwait there, somewhere between 5 to 7 divisions that we never had to fight.
Right.
We just looped around behind them and captured them without firing a shot at them. So it was a matter of thinking and using the talents that we have. I tell people that are my students, we ought to be very good about deception because we've lived with it all our lives. It's called advertisement.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's no slam on
right.
advertisers. But you know, it's a matter of understanding human nature,
sure.
and using those aspects that we're capable of in conjunction with things like psychological operations. One day, a PSYOP captain showed up and said,
and go into detail about, I'm almost using breakdown again, Tom, but go into detail about what psychological operations, because I think for some people, it's gotten this negative connotation. It's gotten this, you know, what are they doing with PSYOPs? Are they trying to get into somebody's mind? Yeah. What is that about?
Two key words in what we used to call PSYOP, and those two words are influence and foreign. And what some of the problems are is that American people think, well, we'll have PSYOPs perpetrated against us, and that cannot take place.
Okay.
It's a matter of foreign audiences, sometimes enemies, sometimes the people in the area, but to influence them to do things like surrender or to not support the enemy. So influence and foreign are the key words there. But in the case of the captain who had showed up and said, I've got some things, tell me what you have. He said, I've got tapes. And I said, gee, that's great. Well, you got rock and roll, golden oldies,
right.
Country western. He said,
yeah.
No, I've got tapes of music, or tapes of noise, I'm sorry. And I said, if you listen closely, I've got all the noise I need. I don't need tapes
right.
of noise. I said, no, these are tapes of the noise made by weapon systems.
Ah.
And so I said, do you by any chance have tank noise? He said, sir, I've got M1 tank noise and M60 tank noise. So we had the M60 tank, and I said, give me those tapes, and we're going to link or rig them with a loudspeaker and with the Humvees and run them opposite the lines of the Iraqis to get them used to hearing tank noises
right.
at night.
Right.
And so when we overran one of the Iraqi positions, the interpreter came to me with the logbook and said, sir, you're not going to believe this. I said, try me. He said, the first time we ran these tank noises, they went ballistic. Tank attack, tank, full alert. Second night, you know, tanking it, but not quite the same enthusiasm. After 2 weeks, it was tank noises, ho-hum. Or,
they just got used to it. They were like, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then one night they heard tank noises, but they weren't recordings.
They
and
came.
They did not react, and so we were able to punch through because of that. So, Derek, this sounds exceedingly simple.
Right.
But in many ways it is. It's just a matter of being smart enough to say what will work and how can we save lives by being smarter than the enemy.
We've got to cut it there, but I want to thank you because I was part of 2nd Marine Division in the Gulf War,
yeah.
and you probably helped save some of me and my Marines' lives as well by the military deception operations as we went through and punched through those front lines as well. So I just want to thank you personally for that as well.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your service. We've been talking to Tom Droughty. He is a Brigadier General, retired, United States Marine Corps. He is the President and CEO of the Marine Corps University Foundation. You can find it at mcuf.org. emcuf.org. They provide funding for education at the Marine Corps University. And as you can see, it benefits a lot of different people in terms of developing strategic thinkers in the military. Thank you so much for coming on FedExcess Time.
My pleasure. Thank you. Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fi.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD. Your source for federal news now.